Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna DeHart, and I am so excited that you decided to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. You guys ready for the word? I'm ready for the word. This message was actually given to me, the title. I had the staff give me titles this year. They gave me titles, and I said, okay, I'll build messages around these titles. So that's what I did, and the one they gave me was, Oh, Death, Where is Your Sting? So I'm going to talk about that today, and let's pray. Father, I thank You for the opportunity, first of all, just to be here together as a family, to honor and receive Your Word. I pray now that as the Word goes forth, Lord, it wouldn't just be another, oh yeah, this is an Easter message, but it really would have a life-giving effect, that it would go down deep into our heart, the soil of our heart would be ready to receive, and that it would bear fruit. And if there's anyone here today, Lord, that is grieving or hurting over the loss of someone that has died, I pray that today they would be encouraged, that because You resurrected from the grave, Lord, that they and their loved ones who believe will as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You know that there's religions all over the world, but Christianity is the only religion that has a founder that's still alive. Yeah? There's tombstones and grave sites for all the other founders. People make pilgrimages yearly to go to these places and stand and honor a person that founded their religion. But we have an empty tomb. We have an empty grave. Amen. I just wanted to start here today that the resurrection of Jesus, I'm not here to prove the resurrection. It's the most historically proven account that there is. Every atheist and non-believer has tried to disprove it, but they have not been able to. Are you guys freezing? Is somebody cold in here? Like, is the air conditioner on? Can somebody come fix that? Just, like, maybe turn it off? You want me to do it? Thank you, Shiny. Well, there's the air conditioning guy. We can... For those of you that don't know who that is, that's my husband, Rod DeHart, who owns an air conditioning, plumbing, and heating company. He can fix that, I think. Okay. Might need his glasses. You got him? He did it. Give it up for handsome Rod. Amen. Yeah. All right. I'm going to get through this, but the resurrection of Jesus, it changes everything, everything. It took the sting of death away from all who believe in Him as Lord and Savior. And we have the hope and joy that come from knowing that Jesus conquered death. His resurrection is the ultimate victory over sin and darkness, and it is a cause for celebration and praise, and that's why we're here today. I want to talk about what the sting of death is. We hear that, oh, death, where is your sting? And we're going to look at that. But Jesus, He already has taken the sting of death by taking upon Himself your sin, my sin, all of our sin. He took it upon Himself. And then He single-handedly beat both of them, sin and death. He proved His victory over them when He rose from the grave. And I want you to know that Christ is more powerful than sin. He's more powerful than death. Many people make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We all sin. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And even as a Christian, sometimes we still sin. Yeah? But that doesn't mean we're a sinner. Being a sinner is an identity. Sinning is something that our flesh still does. And without the sacrifice of Christ, that sin would take us straight to hell. right? We are Christians. We are saints who sometimes sin. But what happens when we do is the devil, he condemns our conscience, and many times we elevate the sin, the mistake, above the mercy of God. The Bible says that mercy, God's mercy, triumphs over the judgment. Amen? Your sin and the sting, which is called sin of death, was taken care of at the cross. Amen? This is the good news of the gospel. We live under the grace of God, which is his free redemption, his free gift of eternal life. We live in the grace of God, but just because we live in the grace of God doesn't mean we have a license to go on doing it. But we have the power, the empowerment of grace, to overcome the sin so it doesn't become a perpetual habit in our life. Amen? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 58 in the NIV, and he asked this question, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And then he identifies what the sting is. He says, the sting of death is sin. If you die physically in the body, dead in your trespasses and sin, it's going to sting. It's going to sting for eternity. Amen? And then he goes on and says something else. The power of sin is the law. What the law could never do, because they're trying to keep the rules and, you know, follow the Ten Commandments, and then they wrote 400 more because man likes to have laws and make them feel good that, you know, they're doing a good thing. But all the law did was give power to the sin. Yeah? So if you want people to go on sinning, you just lay a bunch of laws on them. I was like that when I was a teenager, because there was a law that said you can't drink till you're 21. So because you couldn't drink till you're 21, what'd you want to do? You wanted to drink. You hit it, and you drank more, if you drank, whatever you did. Just tell a child they can't do something. And you empower them to hide and go do it anyways, right? When you tell them, look, within reason, these are things that you can do, but there's consequences, and you put the empowering in their hands to make the decision, and they know that they're still loved. They're not going to be excommunicated from the family. They're not going to be divorced from your life because of their mistake. What happens is now the responsibility for what their choices, you know, bring are on them, and they start to wake up and realize that I'm still loved. I'm still part of the family. And by removing the law, what happens is the sin loses its oomph. How many of you wanted to drink until you were 21 and then you got turned 21 and then because you could drink, you drank too much and you dealt with the consequences of that? Am I talking to anybody? And then all of a sudden it's like, I can do this, but I can also reap the consequences. And then all of a sudden the desire for it, because it's no longer something you can't do, starts to lose its power. Yes? So Paul is addressing this. He's saying, look, the law gives power to the sin, but Jesus came and he took the sin upon himself. He fulfilled the law. Now you're under a whole new law. The law of love. The law of acceptance. Yeah? We live in a new dispensation. And so now death has lost its sting, because sin has been dealt with by Christ. And now the power of sin has lost its strength because Jesus fulfilled the law. Everybody tracking with me? So now when you sin, there is still a consequence. There's sometimes a consequence. If you drive too fast, you get a ticket. You broke the law, right? There's consequences. There's natural consequences. But the ultimate consequence of sin without the grace of God, the ultimate consequence, is judgment, wrath, eternal separation from God. Jesus dealt with all of that when he died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. The ultimate consequence of sin, which is separation from God for eternity, has been dealt with. That's why Paul could say, nothing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture, can separate me or you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the good news of the gospel. And Paul, he's laying this out in this passage. I'm still in 1 Corinthians there. And he says, but, I love that. Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You need to see that. That God's already won the victory for you. He's going to continue to give you the victory. And the condemning voice of the enemy, because that's his job, is to condemn you, to condemn you, to condemn you. I grew up in a legalistic church. And, you know, it was just, you had to dress a certain way. You had to, you know, toe the line. And it was just, the altars were just filled with people groveling for God's mercy and his acceptance and his forgiveness. And I believe you should ask for forgiveness if you have truly done something that you've, you know, hurts other people or hurts the heart of God. But this forgiveness that we ask for now, once we become believers, it's to keep the relationship well, right? It's not to keep getting saved over and over and over again. Man, I grew up not knowing if I was saved. I went to the altar almost every week to make sure. Yeah? And I remember when I first started to get the revelation of the grace of God and the power of God over death, hell, the grave, and sin. And I began to have an issue with some of the theology that was coming at me. Even as a young girl, 14 years old, I've talked to Rod about this. And because I had my face in the Bible, and I was reading it for myself, and the Holy Spirit began to teach me. And today I'm free. Hallelujah. How many of you can say that? Today I'm free. I'm free. Come on, just, I'm free. I'm free. Death could not keep Jesus down. What we see in Jesus here when he died was physical death, and I'm going to talk about that for a moment. Everybody is going to die in the body. Sin brought death to the body into the scene. Yeah? It's appointed unto man once to die. That's the appointment, one time. That's the only appointment that you have as a believer, and that's to die in the body. There's two deaths. Isn't it interesting that the Lord says that you're only appointed to death one time? You're not appointed to. Amen. Yeah? But to refuse Jesus is to have a second appointment. How many of you like that second appointment with the doctor? You go in and they you have one appointment, and then you get called in for the second one. You know, that's scary. Thank you, Janet. You don't want to go in for the second one, right? It's that callback. We don't have a callback. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we believe, we have an appointment with the healer. We have an appointment with Jehovah Rapha, our God. Yeah? And he says to us, you're healed. You're healed. You're made free. The only callback you're going to get is when your name is called up in heaven. Remember that old song, when the roll is called up yonder? I'll be there. Death couldn't keep Jesus down, and it can't keep you down either. If you have placed your faith in him for salvation, until you believe in him, you are dead. This is the gospel. You are dead. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. But when you repent, when you recognize, I'm a sinner, but I need salvation. Amen? When you repent, repentance is not groveling. It is not begging. I believe in remorse over sin. I believe in that. But I've seen a lot of people weep, and they got up, and their life didn't change. Yeah? Repenting is changing your mind. It's making a 360, or a 180, excuse me. You know, 360, you're back, right back where you started. We believe in what Jesus did at the cross, and then when we do, we're raised to life. And when your body dies, because it will, you will live on for eternity with him in heaven. Death of the body is not the end for you. Death of the body is not the end for your loved ones. The Bible says to be absent because we're all going to be absent. One of these days we're going to be absent from this body. It's just a tent. But when we are absent, those of us who believe, we are immediately present with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. This is the good news of the gospel. You know, and in the first sermon that Peter preached after the resurrection of Jesus, he testified of Jesus' power over Satan, the father of death and destruction. And he said this, "People of Israel, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God, the Father, knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him, but God released him from the horrors or the sting of death." Because Jesus died with the sting of death. Think about that. He was completely sin. He was your sin. He was my sin. He was all of our sin. Did you know that Jesus, when he died with the sting of sin on his life, he went to hell? I'll prove it to you. Jesus went to hell. But because he was all powerful and he was the spotless lamb, he didn't go down there to stay. Pastor Simone sang about it this morning. He went down yesterday on Saturday. We call it Silent Saturday. There was a lot going on Silent Saturday. The tomb was sealed. The Savior who took the sin and the sting of death went down into hell and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Satan. And he had a plan. I'm coming out of here tomorrow with the keys in my hand and I'm going to give it to anybody that will believe in me. And they will never have to experience the sting of death ever. Woo. It says, but God released him from the horrors, the sting of death, and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Jesus was the first person to be resurrected from hell. I love it. What happened to Jesus was far more than his body coming up out of the tomb. In fact, those 3 days he was in the belly of the earth, a lot was happening. Prophecy was being fulfilled. And Jesus, he was always talking in parables, and he told the crowd, he said, because they knew the stories. You know, people like their stories. The story of Jonah, the story of Abraham, the story of this. And they were traditional people who liked their rituals and their routines, and they liked their stories. So he's trying to relate to him through a story, and he tells him, he says, just as Jonah, you guys remember Jonah? He's the guy that ran from God. He had a big assignment to preach to a city. He got there, and he didn't like the people or his assignment, or he was going there, he didn't like the people or his assignment. So he ran from God, and he got on a ship, and now there's a big storm out there. You know, there's always storms when you run from God. And the people on the boat realized that he was the problem, so they threw him over the side of the boat. And he was going to die, but a whale swallowed him. How would you like to spend 3 days in the belly of a whale? That's very gross. But anyways, just think about how smart God is. You know that whales are the only ones that come up and get a big breath of air and go back down? He had air in there. He had oxygen. So he's in there for 3 days, and Jesus tells him, just as Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. They didn't get it. He's just like, he won't be seen for about 3 days, but he's going to come out. Yeah? That fish had to spit Jonah out, and Jonah had to fulfill his assignment. And the earth had to spit Jesus out. So he could fulfill his assignment. I just want you to know, maybe you're in an obscure place right now. Maybe you feel like you've been swallowed up by your circumstances, but I want you to know God's going to spit you out. And I don't mean in a bad way. He's going to spit you out, and he's going to get you to finish your assignment. Amen? Jesus did far more than die. He took the sins. I'm going to keep reiterating this. You, me, every person who ever lived. Peter said this. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. I want you to know, he went on to say, by his wounds, you are healed. That's what I preached on Friday night. By his wounds, Jesus carried your sin away. And you say, well, you know, yesterday I sinned. I cussed at the person in front of me when they cut me off in traffic. Or maybe you didn't do that. Sometimes I still do that in my head. It doesn't come out of my mouth, but I still have to repent. How many of you, don't leave me hanging out here dry all by myself. Like sometimes, yeah, there we go. Cat raised her hand. Your confession, honey, you're delivered in Jesus' name. Listen, we all sin in word, thought, sometimes deeds. If it weren't for the fact that Jesus personally carried all of that, past, present, and future sin, in his body, took the sting of death, went down into hell, came up out of hell, resurrected, walked among his people for 40 days, giving infallible proof that he was who he said he was. None of us would have hope. None of us. Here's the thing. To fully understand spiritual death, we need to understand that life is God. I'll say that again. Life is God. God is our life. In 1 John 5:11, it says, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son, whoever has Jesus, look at that, has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. That's pretty straightforward. I want to encourage you. You have life. You have it right now. I hear many people say, my kids are my life. My work is my life. You know, this and that's my life. Don't ever say that, because temporary things go away. And everything living, except for Jesus, is going to die. It's going to die. So why call something that's temporary and that's going to die your life? Because if it's your life and it dies, you don't have a life anymore. Right? No one can take your life. If you are in Christ, he is your life. And as my mother so beautifully said, honey, if I live, I live. And if I die, I live. No one can take my life. The resurrection of Christ changed everything. Romans 5, 1 through 11 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Wow. For if when we were enemies, look, think about this. Stay with me. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Think about it. When you were an enemy, you were already reconciled to God. Through the death of his Son. That's already been done. It's all the provision has already been made. The reconciliation has already been made. The only thing that a person needs to do now is just say, thank you. Yes, I believe you did that for me. It's very simple. But religion wants to keep you working. You got to go to this class, and you got to go to that class, and you got to do these 12 steps, and you know, you got to do all this. And Jesus eradicated 12-step programs, and he said there's one step. It's a one-step program. Amen? You need to say yes, and when you do, it says here in the Word, you shall be saved by his life. Love it. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So good. Jesus was the first begotten Son of God. He was the first man to ever be born again from spiritual death to spiritual life. Hell couldn't hold Jesus because Satan had no legal right to him. Every demon had to let him go. At the moment of Jesus' resurrection, by God's glory, in the eyes of God, in the heart of God, in the life of God, in the will of God, in everything that has anything to do with God, every man, woman, and child ever born in the earth was totally and absolutely legally freed from Satan's dominion. Sin was broken. In the eyes of God, the entire human race was free from sin. And in God's mind, even before you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you were free. Pastor Simone, you sang about it this morning. You've been free your whole life, but you have to act on it. Your freedom was already paid for. Ha! Mine was paid for. All along I was believing that drugs and addiction was too hard for me, too hard for me to get out of. And one day, the epiphany that Jesus paid the price for my freedom came to me, and I said one, two words. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And everything changed. The resurrected King resurrected me. But the price had already been paid. I want to just end on this today. Jesus rose. It's not a cute story like she sang about this morning. It's true. It will forever be true. All of heaven today is singing about the resurrected Lamb, the worthy one who will forever be worthy. The blood of Jesus has been put out on the altar in the heavenlies. It has been sprinkled there once and for all. There is no more sacrifice for sin. There is no more shedding of blood. The blood of bulls and goats could never give you eternal life. It was a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do. And without that blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood took away the sin. It remitted the sin. But the resurrection gave you the life that you can have forever and ever with him. Hallelujah. I love to preach the gospel. As long as there is breath in my body, I will herald the blood of Jesus. As long as there is breath in my body, I will try to reveal to you a live and risen King. He is not a religion. He is a person who personally carried every weight, every sin, every addiction, every lie, every chain of hell. He broke it when he died on the cross. And he forever destroyed it when he rose again. And he said, you know what? I'm about ready to ascend. Go and wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I'm going to send to you another, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to empower you. And he's going to lead you. And he's going to guide you into all truth. And you will never be alone. And I will be with you always. How? By my Spirit. And one day I'm going to return again. And I'll be back. I'll be back. And every eye will see me. And every tongue will confess that I am Lord. Every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. And I will return with my triumphant ones. Everyone who's put their trust in me. Yes? I pray that you will do what he asked us to do. He told them, he said, go. Go. You know that the word gospel begins with the word go? It's the go spell. Go spell it out. Come on. Go spell it out. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go! Go into all the world! Go into your family! Go into your workplace! Go into the grocery store! Go into the bank! Go into the political mountains! Come on! Go into the education system! Go! Go out there! Go out there and keep telling them! Keep telling them! Keep telling them! Woo! Come on, stand up. Y'all are acting like Pentecostals now. You were acting like Baptists and Presbyterians for a little while. Yeah. Go tell him. Jesus is the way. There's only one way. There's not a bunch of different roads. People are out there, well, there's different roads. No, there is not. Jesus was very narrow-minded. If you're a Christian today, they tell you, you're narrow-minded. You go, heck yeah, I am. I'm on the narrow road. And I follow a narrow-minded Savior. He said, I, not we, are the way. I am the way. I am the truth. And what is he? I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except for through me. That's it. That's the gospel. There is no other way to get there but through him. And he said, if you believe in me, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. He said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. We got a lot of condemning voices out there. They want to condemn you for this and condemn you for that. Well, Paul said there's therefore now, right now, I like that word now, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? We don't have condemnation. Wrath is not what we are waiting for. We're waiting for the ultimate resurrection. Amen? And Jesus said, listen, all you got to do is believe. You don't believe this, what I preach today to you will be foolishness. The Bible said that the gospel is foolishness. This is sad. Listen to me. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. And it's offensive to you. And if you think the gospel is foolishness, my God help you, because you are perishing. It's not foolishness. The gospel is the good news. It's life. The Bible says it's life to us who believe. You may have never trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You may have never said, I believe that now. I believe that Jesus lived. He died, and he died to pay the penalty of sin for me. He died to take my debt. That's the thing I could never pay for. And I believe that today, and I... As crazy as I feel right now, I'm just going to say it. I believe, Jesus, you did that for me. The Bible says when you believe in your heart and you say that out loud, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are changed from life, death to life. You are born again. You have eternal life. It's that simple. Come on, Soul Harvest, let's pray it. I don't know who's listening. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died. You were buried. And you rose on the third day for me. I turn from my sin and I make you, come on, say it. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Lord. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Woo! Yeah. All of heaven's throwing a party. I know somebody did that. If you did that, tell your neighbor, tell somebody, go tell somebody, go tell it on the mountain. He said, if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Amen. You got born again on Easter Sunday. You'll never forget that. Hallelujah. Listen, if you need prayer, our team is always here to pray for any need. They'll prophesy over you. They will comfort you, do whatever they can for you. Stick around and receive prayer. If not, listen, have fun. Have fun today. Don't eat too much chocolate. Enjoy your meals. Enjoy your afternoon. I love you. Come back to Soul Harvest if you visited today. We'd be love to have you back again, okay?
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.